Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Come on, man.
Now, that's a big game
voice
right there.
That's called producing right there. Yeah. Great job, Kyle Quinn. Thank you. I needed that.
That is a big game voice. Oh, you know the voices. You heard one of them there. Welcome in the High Hopes guys with us here as we're at Stateside Live for the Red October Rally. Jack Fritz, James Seltzer, guys, it is your time of the year. It's our time of the year. It's the Phillies' time of the year. How are we doing? How are we feeling today?
Let's just address the elephant in the room. Very well put together video by Tommy Marlowe, but I'm not a big game voice guy.
Well, that was the question I had for everyone. Was that a big game voice?
No, I'm not a hype video guy. You know, it's like if Seltzer was a hype
video
guy.
I was about to say, look, I'm not one to talk. I think we all know I don't have a big game, a hype video voice, but that was absolutely not what I'm needing when I'm hearing a big game hype type of. I mean, man.
My whole bit is calm down.
You got to match the moment.
I tried to match the moment.
Yeah, well.
Now, did you, how did that, when you did it, did you see the video or you just were asked to read the lines?
No, I just read the lines. I tried to play it up a little bit.
Yeah, if you saw the video, maybe you could get into the moment.
Yeah.
Here, what did you think of Jack's voice in the hype video?
I thought he did a really good job.
Okay, that's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie here. If Jack weren't sitting here, you definitely wouldn't say that.
No, I would definitely. I thought it wasn't bad.
I would say it was a B-minus effort. A B-minus.
Okay.
Wasn't a failure.
That's fair.
Wasn't great.
When I first saw it, I thought it was the official.
So did I.
One.
Joe, I was like,
that's a big moment for Jack.
I was
Jack
like, how did Jack not tell me that he's doing this? Yeah. Like, he's just, what? What the hell? Like, I figured I would get a text the moment he was asked. Turns out not the Phillies one.
Next year. Like it. I mean, it was a good video.
Oh, unbelievable video.
All right, guys.
Just a B-minus narrator.
We can give you a B. I mean, if it was
you did a good job.
I wouldn't.
Well, Hugh's an easy grader sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Grader.
It all depends.
We grade on curves here.
Yeah, we do. All right. It is our High Hope segment here. By the way, Trey Turner's going to join the show at 11:30 today. We'll talk to him about getting ready for the series, and hopefully that hamstring is ready to go for Saturday. All right, guys, let's just start with this. How are we feeling? I mean, this is it.
Your gut telling you?
Your gut feeling as we get to this series. It is, James, for me, it's the two best teams of baseball, the two best rosters overall in baseball, and it just so happens to be a best of five to start the postseason.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think this is the best team the Phillies have faced since the 2022 Astros.
I agree.
You know, I know that Braves team is really good, but this team is a cut above. Obviously won the World Series last year. I said this to you before, Joe. If it is possible to be confident and yet completely terrified at the same time,
that's what
I'm feeling right now, because I do believe in this team. I believe in this group of Phillies right now heading into the playoffs more than I did in 22, 23, or 24. Like, this is the group I believe the most in. They've got something. The way they've battled adversity, battling back after the Wheeler injury, the Met series, all this stuff we can point to. Even in games, if they're down 4-0, they fight back. Like, I love the way this team plays. I love how they're put together. It's the deepest team we've had yet, even without Wheeler. But, man, they're going up against a juggernaut, and they can beat them. And I am picking the Phillies in five. I do think they will win this series. But if the Dodgers Dodgers won 17-22 now.
Yep.
They're finally looking if they came in here and they were the Dodgers and just handled business, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. So I'm confident, but I have a healthy respect for this Dodgers.
I remember thinking before the Eagles-Rams playoff game last year, we're going to want to throw up for 3 hours. I thought the Eagles would win,
totally. But
it was going to be tough. And that's the way I feel about this. This is just a week long of that. Jack, how are you feeling? Phillies,
Dodgers. Yeah, how you feeling, Jack?
I can sense it. I know it.
You can see it.
Yeah.
I need to be in the ballpark and see how it goes, frankly. I mean, it's all I've thought about. You're struggling to sleep. You're watching other playoff games. You're watching other playoff games, and you're like, haha, that sucks. And then I'm thinking about how that's going to be me, and that's going to be us in 12 hours.
No, you're not afraid, are you?
It's not afraid. It's funny. I expect them to win the series. I really do. It's I have a healthy amount of respect for who this Dodgers team is.
I mean, and that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. But I just feel like it's, you know, like, think about the Dodgers and how many years they've been in this same position.
A lot.
And how long it took them to break through.
It's true. Yeah.
This just feels like this is our time. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
My fear with that is, like, was last year the dam breaking for the Dodgers, where it's like they just figured it out.
And now I see what you're saying.
And they just know how to win. I mean, because, Seltzer said it, but they won 9-11 to close the season, and then they won that series against the Reds. Now the Reds are essentially an FCS opponent, like when –
like the Marlins in 23.
It was a cute story. Yeah. Yeah.
Not to take a shot at the entire
thing. Well, dude, they didn't even win to get in. The Mets lost their last 51 games. The Reds won 25 and 26. Like, they were an average baseball team.
When you watch the lineups in that series, and it's like Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez. They didn't have Will Smith in the series.
The Reds are throwing out Sal Stewart.
The Reds didn't have a hitter who hit above 275, and they didn't have a guy who had 25 homers. Think about that.
They're a make-believe playoff team.
Who wins a five-game series, the 23 Marlins or the 25 Reds?
I think I'd take Luzardo in the 23 Marlins.
I think talent-wise they're better. I might give Tito the edge and he finds a way. Yeah, I'm with you. They're both scrub playoff team.
All right, so it's October. An hour as this show has gone by, and we haven't said a name that should be in every show in October in Philadelphia, and that's Bryce Harper.
Daw.
All right, guys. The other day we were talking about Bryce, and lower the bar. Douglas over there was like, "Yeah, as long as he's what he was in the regular season, they'll be fine." And I was like, "No."
The midday show does take shots at you.
Can I just say how much I love the amount of Douglases? I feel like every day I find out there's a new Douglas, a new version of Douglas.
Well, it's great. The bracket of 64 Hughes is going to have all new.
It's like outdated. You're going to have to 128 next year.
Once a year, expand the field.
We might have to. All right, Bryce. It was an okay regular season? It was fine?
Yeah,
right?
See, I heard you say that the other day, too.
Uh-oh, you're coming in his
kitchen
right
now.
It's just like
it was not okay.
It was okay.
He still hit 27 home runs. If you expound it over what he usually plays, if he 150 games, he probably hits 30 to 35 home runs. I mean, I guess for Bryce's standard,
I think that's
an okay season.
It, yeah.
But, like, he's still – I mean, there's a lot of players in baseball who'd kill to have Bryce Harper's numbers this year.
Right, but he's Bryce Harper. I mean, his slugging percentage was .487.
No,
it's usually in the 500.
I think he had a good season for a Major League Baseball player for Bryce Harper. You're right. It was a below Bryce Harper standard type season. However, like, and I know it's a little Pollyanna to say it, but
Pollyanna.
Yeah, buddy. You know what I'm saying? I just believe in the guy when the lights get bright.
Me
like
too.
I believe that he is such a great player, a historically great player. I think that when he locks in, when he's fully focused and ready, like, I just think he's able to raise his level of play, and we've seen it. October. Like, even though the last one was short, he's the one guy, him and Castellanos, who hit. Like, until I see Bryce not come through in the playoffs, I'm going to believe in Bryce in the playoffs.
Jack, do you expect him to be October Bryce?
Yeah, so I do. I do, but I do think that this is going to be a big – it's big from the standpoint of what version of Bryce are we getting for almost the rest of his career. Like, is he going to be someone who kind of goes through the regular season but then can rise up in the postseason, or are we just watching a different version of Bryce Harper? I think that's where it comes down to, like, it being a show-me kind of postseason, because it's going to be a big tell as to really the rest of his career, what he's going to be like. And, you know, CBS put out he's on a top 25 player.
Which is ridiculous.
Staple it to his locker.
Yes. But you can't tell me that there are three players left in the playoffs that you'd rather have in a big spot over Bryce Harper. I mean, he still has that kind of, I know the kids say, but he's got the aura around him in the postseason. But he does. He does have the aura around him. And, yes, I would take him in a big moment over Aaron Judge. Over, come on, the big dumper. Are you kidding me? What big game is the big dumper?
That list of the 25 best players
Ranger
in this postseason.
Ranger Suarez. I love Ranger. He's on it over
hold
Bryce.
On. I will
Nico
say.
Nico Horner of the Cubs.
Yes. Yeah, hold on.
Singles hitter?
Hold on. Pavetta's on it. Pavetta is on
nonsensical.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big win for
you. Pavetta, he won. It's over. He won. I mean, Pavetta started game one of the playoff
series.
He's a
good
pitcher. Yeah.
Now, and I know we were kidding around, Hugh, about lower the bar, but your point the other day was you don't just expect him to flip the switch. You think he's going to be what he was during the regular season.
Yeah, because it's like Bryson's a little bit older, right? And he's had some injuries, so I don't think that, you know, he wants to play well, but to sit there and say, hey, you know, it's the playoffs, it's going to pick my game
October
up.
October Bryce.
Yeah, that might not be the case, but he's still going to be good. He's still going to be serviceable. I think the strength of this team is from the collective, to be honest, because that has been an issue. Like, the two seasons that I've been here in the playoffs, we've complained about lesser hitters not doing their job because the big dogs didn't do the job when they were in that big moment. So that's why I think that Bryce is going to get his, and he's going to have those moments where we're going to look at it and say it's going to say playoff Bryce.
Yep.
But it's going to be those lesser guys, the bottom of that order. Because to me, like I told you, Rojas, the fact that he got as much heat as he got for the bat being on his shoulder in that moment against the Arizona Diamondbacks, it was just astonishing to me when you talk about everybody else was in that lineup
right.
that didn't do their job, yeah. but he got the most heat.
And that was more about Dombrowski.
Yeah.
He didn't have a good enough
team. And they didn't you know, upgrade the squad. But then even you talk about the Mets last year, and you talk about stranding 26 runners in four games. That's a lot.
Well, Schwarber didn't have a hit after the first at bat of the series. Trey was a disaster. I think to Hugh's point, the nice part about, I think, this team this year is that a lot of the extra guys are starting to do their thing.
Contributors.
Stotts had a bounce-back season. Marsh had a bounce-back season. JT has had a bounce-back season. You add in Bader to that.
Boehm's been good since he came back.
Yeah.
Do we trust it?
No, I'm just saying he's been awesome since he came back. Like, I don't trust it. I think he's going to be the cleanup hitter. I think Topper made that pretty clear when he was on with us in the morning.
Doesn't mean he can't change his mind in 3 days.
No, he could. Days, yeah. He could, but I think he trusts Boehm there. I'm not saying, look, to Jack's, to the point you're making versus what Jack's saying, like, and I, the Stott, the Marshes, all these guys who I trust now, like, when they've stepped up the last 2 months after kind of getting it going, and Marsh has been going since May, I have trusted them, but I don't know that when the playoffs start, and it matters the most, that I'm not going to feel last October more than I feel the last 6 months, if that makes sense.
Boehm's going to be batting third in game three.
Against Snell.
Isn't Snell game two?
I'm just saying that I think they're going to give it
is
two games.
Is that what you mean, the Snell game?
Are you talking about the Snell game?
Not really.
He just means game two.
I'm just talking about I would.
You think he's going to struggle and they're going to move him back? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I think they need to split those lefties up. Like, I'm nervous about an end of game where they go Vezia, they go Tanner Scott, they have Dreyer that they can bring out of the bullpen, and those guys late in games. I don't really love the idea of those guys hitting back to back.
So Bryce drops to fourth?
Could be.
Well, I mean, if you're dropping Schwarber, it changes Schwarber. Everything.
I think you put Schwarber four, Schwarber right? Four. And Harper two, if you do it.
I would love to put Schwarber four. I don't know if they're going to put Schwarber four.
I don't either. I'm just saying, if you're going to do the righty-lefty thing, I think that's a more logical way to do it.
I would agree. But Bryce has said he doesn't want to bat.
I know.
So we could talk all about the depth of the lineup. And it's better, right? And Bader's been huge. But I just look at it like, we have to match what they're getting out of Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. It's just very hard for me to imagine we score enough runs if those guys are on base, you know, at a 400 clip in the series, James, and our guys are not. Like, we need our top three. That's the team, whether they're 1, 2, 3. We need those guys to hit.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be there, but Tommy Edmond won NLCS MVP last year, and Andy, like, the extra guys got to do their thing as well. I mean, you go back to 08, Ryan Howard didn't hit a home run until game three of the World Series, you know?
Yeah, but that team had Worth and had other guys outside their top three guys who were, like, studs.
Totally. I just think we've gone from the only way they're going to win at the Stars would have to be the Stars. I hear that, but you need everyone
else.
Well,
look, it's a gray area. Obviously, like, if Stott, Marsh, and whoever all hit, then you can afford. But if only one of those guys is going to hit, you are going to need your stars to hit. So I do think it's going to be a game-to-game type of thing, and you are going to need contributions from both. But, Joe, I do agree with you on a base level that, look, Shohei's coming in hot. Mookie's coming in smoking hot.
I wish he didn't wake up, but he has.
Smoking hot. And Freddie, you know, is Freddie. So I get Jack's point, and I agree they're going to have to get it from everywhere because I don't think, as good as our top three are, that they will match those three, but they have to show up. Like, they're not going to win this series if those three don't show up.
Sure. All right, let's throw this out there. Topper and the pitching decisions, because I feel like that's just a huge part of this, right? Other than Sanchez, none of the guys they have is just, like, throw them out there for seven and close your eyes, right? Like, he's going to have to manage his way through everyone else.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think he's going to let the starters go deeper? You look at, since he became the manager of the Phillies, other than the Wheeler starts, these starters in the playoffs with Topper average 13, 14 outs. Like, he's in that bullpen in the fifth inning.
Yep.
I don't want to be in the middle of our bullpen in the fifth inning. Like, Duran, sure, but it's dangerous to me to be going to Kirkering and those guys in the fifth, sixth inning of the game. It's a lot of outs. Like, I feel like outs 14 through 24 are going to decide these games.
Well, what I find so interesting is that in watching Lizardo's last, like, six starts, he's gotten really good that second, third time through. Yep. You know, that's kind of where he finds his footing. And that's kind of what Sanchez used to do. And that didn't matter for Thompson in the postseason. He still pulled him earlier than I think a lot of us would have liked. So Lizardo's one where I wonder, I hope they go eye test rather than what their plan was heading into the game. But, what I find so interesting, because I think Ranger's going to be a piggyback guy in game one and then in game three after Nola.
So you think Nola's going to start? Because James, when he was on with you guys the other day, I got that feeling too.
He was really strong on his belief in Aaron Nola. Very clear about it.
And that will be a talking point if it goes south.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It'll be the talk. I think that's the, you know, we've had some, and I think Topper's done an awesome job this year. I really do. And in general, I think he's done a really good job as Phillies manager. But he's had some whopper, big, bad decisions in the playoffs. Wheeler in the Houston series, Kimbrel, and whether he had options or not, Kimbrel. We all said, I'll take a position player pitching instead of Kimbrel in Arizona. And that's why, like, there have been so many of these spots where, you know, the Rojas spots, you pinch hit, this and that. So, like, and I know part of that's on Dombrowski, but I think that the most concerning thing with Topper this playoffs is Nola for me. After hearing the way he talked about him, I think every single Phillies fan on the planet trusts Ranger more than Nola right now, and it doesn't sound like they're going to go that route. And I get that Ranger can pitch out of the bullpen and Nola can't, but I'm with you, Joe. Like, if it were me, I'm putting Sanchez, Lizardo, and Suarez out there, and they're going as deep into these games as they can. As long as they're pitching well, I'm giving them six, I'm giving them seven, whatever. Like, I trust those three guys more than anyone except Duran.
Yeah, it feels like we're working too hard here. It's a three-game series. It's a five-game series with days off. We only need three starters.
Totally.
The fact that we might use Nola, who's not one of our three best starters this year, is crazy. It's just crazy.
He's
to
not
me.
One of your four best, five best starters. You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Taiwan was better this year. Like, obviously, you're not going to give him a start, but Taiwan was better this season than Aaron Nola.
I mean, Hugh, you've been on the idea of let Nola start a game, and I just, if it's 1-1 or they're down, depending on game two or three, but if they're down in the series or it's tied and they go to Nola, I'm terrified. He just hasn't pitched well.
No, I mean, that's fair, but I don't think it's going to be that. I think we get the first one tomorrow, and I think we roll. I think that's where the confidence comes from. Listen. As a former athlete, I feel like when you're in situations like this, you've been to the well a couple times, and you haven't drank the water. It's time to take a drink. It's time to take a big old gulp, man. You know, and you got to dig deep, and you got to figure it out. And I think that's why Topper's so confident that Nola can get it done. But I will say this, though. If it gets a little hairy at the beginning and he looks like he's having a little trouble,
get him out.
I got to get him up out of here, man. Can't take that chance of it going squirrely and keeping him in there. He doesn't have the luxury of having a couple bad innings and then shaking it off and going back. We can't do that. Have that.
He's going two times through the lineup, and then Ranger will be in there. I mean, I think
so. That's game three. So that you
that's
think
game
it's
three.
Do you think Lizardo two that three? Here's the,
man. If it's 1-1 and they're trotting Nola out in game three,
but it's. I mean, also. I do think how well he pitches is obviously, but like he does seem like a slow heartbeat guy.
He does. He does, but
in LA,
is he a big time pitcher? Like people keep saying, "Oh, big game pitcher." Like he's got over 4 ERA in the playoffs.
He
sucked last year. I think we overrate Nola. He's had some good playoff starts. Don't get me wrong, but he's also had bad playoff starts. World Series. Like there are spots where I don't get why people are like Knowles once it's a big spot is going to be great. Like I don't think that's true. You know, maybe.
He had a 6 ERA this season. I mean,
yeah,
like,
six.
Not 4.5, not 4.7, six. And that's with the last start in you know against the Twins.
Hey,
when he was
figured
really
it out at the end of 23.
Oh, there we go.
You know, made a little mechanical adjustment.
He was good in that.
Pitched thing. Mostly he, well.
Mostly well until that last start, though, right against the Diamondbacks, and he wasn't good.
All right, let me throw this one at you. Another Topper decision. Duran, right? Like I think for most people, he's the closer. It's turnkey, just simple. Do you think he should use him if the biggest spot arrives before the ninth inning? I mean, we see this happen all across baseball.
Glad you brought this up.
The Phillies don't tend to do this.
Well, they used to.
They haven't with Duran. There was an article the other day. He spoke to Mac Gelb and said he's kind of bored just pitching the ninth inning, which tells me he's up for it.
Well, that was to pitch multiple innings.
That was it could be the eighth innings. And the ninth. Yeah, not like whatever.
Well, you could bring him in the eighth and he stays in the ninth. Let's just say eighth inning, they're up one. and here comes Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. Would you bring in Duran?
I would. Absolutely. And I know they won't. I really don't think they will. But I would bring him in the seventh inning. If those three guys are up and it's a one-run game, I would bring him in the seventh and let him pitch a seventh and eighth and then close it out with Stroman ninth or whatever I had to do. Like, I am willing to use Joan Duran in any situation, in my opinion, that if I'm the manager and I feel like this is the leverage moment in the game, late in the game, I will use Duran, personally.
So I want Strom on Ohtani as much as possible.
That's fair. Strom's been really good against Ohtani.
Yeah, so that's actually one of the biggest keys of the series is how does Strom do against Ohtani, and then
I totally agree. And Freeman too.
And if it's three batter minimum, you know, he's gotta get the righty out too in that situation. But yeah, no, if it's the most important outs of the game, I want Joan Duran taking them. And I do think that the way Strom has pitched the last 16 outings has changed the calculus here to where and he's closed out playoff games before for this team. I mean, he closed out the Braves in 23. So it's not – I don't think he's going to be – I think he's going to be fine, and especially with the way he's pitched recently. But, yes, Duran is not married to the ninth inning. And, listen, six out saves? Okay, sure. But even if it's not that scenario, making sure that you get to the ninth with the lead is the most important thing.
Yeah, the one will be interesting is if in the sixth he has to go to Strom to get that part of the order you're talking about, Jack.
Totally.
Then they come back up in the eighth again, right?
Yeah.
Then what do you do?
Do you have faith in Banksy?
Depending on the situation.
He has had a nice year. He has.
He's got stones, man.
He doesn't have strikeouts.
No, but no, he doesn't. But how many times have they brought him in, like bases loaded one out or bases loaded? And the guy just finds ways to get outs and
he's
to get double plays.
He's probably been the most underrated player this season.
I think, I trust him more than I trust Kirkering, like without a doubt. And I think that very few people would have thought that into the season. But like, I think we all mostly feel like Duran, Strom, and then probably Robertson are the three guys we trust in the pen. I would put Banks next.
All right, Trey Turner's coming up on the other side. We'll talk to him about this series, how he's feeling, and hopefully his timing is where it needs to be for tomorrow night. Is this going five?
It's going five.
Yeah,
it's going five. Splitsville here, Splitsville out there, and then they take it in game five.
I agree with that.
Kind of feels like a score run in the first inning tomorrow. Shut it down for a little bit.
Oh, no.
Lose game one.
Oh, no.
And then they win game two.
Oh, no. The nerves around here if they lose game one.
Buddy.
That place is going to be tight on Monday.
Could you not?
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm here.
So tomorrow's not a must win. Can't lose more if I can't lose than a must win.
Ask Trey.
Yeah, it's funny this guy saying it. Who you know, if they lose tomorrow, is just going to melt down.
I'm not going to say I'm going to handle it well. I'm just saying that's what the old gut's telling me.
All right, you guys on tomorrow from the park at four?
Four.
Yeah. 4 o'clock
and post game as well.
Yeah. All right, so listen to the High Hopes, guys. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock, and then right after the game. All right, 215-592-9494. Trey Turner joins us next. Come on down. We're at Stateside Live. You can park in Lot S and walk over. It is not a dress rehearsal, as Hugh Douglas thought. This is the real thing. You're allowed here. You guys know that? Hugh Douglas thought this was a dress rehearsal.
I heard on my, when I was driving
like,
back.
People are coming today? Yeah, well, that's the plan. Yeah. That's the idea. People are invited to come. All right, 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, live from Stateside Live on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Ready to fire up your Saturday's FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino has got a boost you don't want to miss. It's called Boosting with the Boys, and it's giving everyone a college football prop boost every single week. Here's how it works. Each week, FanDuel's giving everyone a profit boost to use on college football. No opt-in gymnastics, no invite-only nonsense. Everyone gets the boost. Talking real games, real teams, real Saturdays with an extra payout on the line. It's easy, fun, only on FanDuel. FanDuel.com/GIGLAO to download the app. Check out the Boosting with the Boys offer and get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. A Rosarena back, looking up, and there it is. His first home run all season. And it's career hit number 1,500 for Trey Turner. A three-run home run to straightaway left, and the Phillies have an early 5-0 lead.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
We're all over it. Yeah, all over
it. You good over there?
Blame the boss.
No, listen. Me and the boss were talking. Yep. And we were talking about the movie Tron comes out next week, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so he asked me, he said, "Is who's the villain?" And I said, I Googled it, right? And
I said, Jared Leto, right?
Jared Leto. And I said, it says, yes, Jared Leto plays the titular villain.
Titular.
Yeah, I said it wrong.
Those sound nearly as villainous.
He looked at me and he said, Tiddler. And I was like, Tiddler?
That's awesome.
It's good stuff.
Now I can see why you were laughing so hard.
No,
what is so funny?
No, because he looked at me like, what? He looked at me like, that don't sound right.
I looked at you on the air. Yeah,
that was good. Titular.
Yeah, and then we're getting more drops out of this. All right, welcome back. It is our Red October Rally at Stateside Live. Trey Turner set to join the show in a few minutes. Right, before we talk to Trey, what are we thinking in terms of his readiness to do this? He's played one game in 3 weeks, right? He's healthy. They cleared him. But last year when he came back, and we could talk to him about it, he didn't run much, right? It just seemed like he was hesitant to run. And when I think of him, especially this season, he's had so many infield hits, right? It's not just about stolen bases, right? For him to be at his best, Jack, he needs to be able to run and get those infield hits.
That first ignited, to third, second yes, to home, first yes, to home, all
I,
that.
I hope that's there because that's a big part of this version of Trey.
Yeah, I'm not so worried. Yeah.
All right, let's you know what? Let's ask him.
Let's ask him himself. Yeah, might as well ask Trey instead of asking Gus about it. Yeah.
Joining us right now, Philly shortstop, National League batting champion.
Oh, that's why Jack's still here.
Trey Turner with us. Trey, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Long time no talk to, man. How you doing? How are you feeling, man? We were just sitting there talking about your hamstring. So how are you feeling? You feel 100%?
Yeah, I feel good. I haven't ran 100% yet, but I feel like I can. Played in that scrimmage, you know, a couple nights ago and ran pretty hard and I feel good, feel normal and nothing's bothering me, so good to go.
So are you, like when you said you haven't ran 100%, are you a little bit, like, are you going to kind of hold back a little bit because you're still trying to, you know, figure out if you're healthy enough or so?
No, I'm just going to kind of let it happen. Like, I feel like, you know, in practice you can, I think there's a difference between effort and then speed. So, you know, I feel like the last, you know, week or two my effort's been really high. Mm-hmm. Been getting better every day, and I feel like I'm running normal and like I said, running hard with effort. But it's a different you know, thing when you get in the game and run with a little bit of speed. So not worried about it. Just hasn't happened yet, and I think that's kind of how it works. You know, you wait for that game to play out, and when you got to make a play, you make a play and just let it go, and then trust it.
Trey, is that one of those? Do you have to think through that, or does it just happen? Because last year it felt like when you came back. It felt like it took a while for you to just run like you can run. And I'm thinking, like, tomorrow night, infield hit type of thing, first inning, ball in the hole. Is that just an instinct thing and it'll take over? Or do you have to decide, okay, I got to let it rip?
Both. I mean, I think when you get in the competition of the game, it's kind of an instinct thing. But like you're saying, kind of just trust it and let it rip. And I think I'm in a position to do that. The rehab's gone really good. Last injury, I think, was now going through. It was a lot worse and a lot harder to come back. And when I came back, I was probably still a little too early. But I want to be back on the field. And if I feel like I can compete, I want to get back there as soon as possible. So I think that last one was a little bit of that. But this one, I feel good. I feel nothing's bothering me. I don't feel like anything's holding me back. So it's going to be, you know, all cylinders go.
Philly shortstop Trey Turner joining us here at the Red October Rally. All right, Trey, so how about your timing? That's the other thing. You're out for a while. You wonder about timing. You had the game on Sunday. You came back, inter-squad game the other night. How do you feel there? I know last year you didn't do a rehab. It doesn't seem like you need to have a lot of at-bats to fill your time back. How are you feeling? How did it feel the other night when you were hitting?
Yeah, it feels good. I was doing some live at-bats, you know, a week ago, and I felt like the decision-making was good. I was seeing the ball good. It was just kind of getting those reps, I think, are important. So I've gotten some live at-bats before, you know, that scrimmage game. And then the scrimmage game was good, too. It felt like I was seeing the ball good. It's kind of weird facing your own guys. And I think that was a little awkward. But as far as, you know, being in the batter's box, I feel comfortable. So, you know, going to have to go out there and compete. And I wish, you know, obviously never got hurt and missed those games. But it is what it is, and I feel good. So I'm not worried about it. And I think, you know, adrenaline will lock me in. And I'll be good to go.
So I know we're all looking forward to tomorrow and the playoffs, but it's worth a congratulations for you for this season. A batting title, that it's an incredible accomplishment, especially when it seemed like the Phillies asked you and Topper asked you to kind of be a different offensive player this year. You did it. You won the batting title. How would you assess your season after, you know, from the ups, the downs of the past couple of years to where you were this year in your third season as a Philly?
Yeah, I feel good. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty proud of the defense this year. I felt like I played a really good shortstop, and I wanted to do that because I felt like I was capable, and, you know, last few years kind of fell short of that. But as far as offense, I feel like it's kind of what I expected for myself. I expected a few more homers here and there, and, you know, all the low amount of homers at home was kind of weird. But I felt really consistent all year. I felt like there wasn't too many stretches where I was going bad. I felt like my two-strike hitting was good, used the whole field. So I just felt really consistent, and that's kind of the player that I've always wanted to be, is consistent. I don't want to get too high, too low, and kind of contribute every day. And I feel like between, you know, the offensive side of just putting the ball in play and finding first base and getting on base for those guys behind me, you know, paired with good defense, I think was a good year, and, you know, I'm pretty happy about it.
Trey Turner with us here as we get set for tomorrow night, the Phillies and the Dodgers. Trey, what's it going to feel like, and what does it feel like for you to run out on that field in front of this crowd at Citizens Bank Park? You've played in a lot of big games and World Series games, but what is it like here in October? You've been through it a couple times now in front of this crowd at Citizens Bank Park. What's an October Citizens Bank Park crowd like?
It's just the first thing that comes to mind is goosebumps. You know, I've played a long time, played a lot of games, and you know, pretty often I feel like in the regular season, it just feels like another day. But, you know, the second you run out there in the postseason with the crowd, the energy, just the situation, and, you know, the city can feel it, we can feel it as players, it just kind of gives you goosebumps. It's what you play for. The opportunity to win that World Series, I know we all want it. I know the fans want it really bad. So we're here, and we got a chance to do it, and we want to get it done.
Trey Turner with Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilly, and also with us here, James Seltzer, Jack Fritz, a name you know, as the High Hopes guys are with us here.
All right.
They're big fans, dog.
All right.
Big fans.
All right. I know. Trey had the sympathy video before me versus the camera. Trey, it's okay.
It was like a hostage.
Yeah. I'm sorry that they made
you
do that.
I think it helped.
It was like, Trey, you have to do this.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, Trey, 0-for-8, 5 strikeouts. You know, big-time players rise up in big-time moments. So
Always.
So I'm curious, you know, last year...
Did you just do your stats?
Yeah, he did. That was exactly what happened. And his stats against Joe DiCamera, no less.
2-0 in the high school playoffs,
to a guy who just won the first batting title in 67 years in Philadelphia. He's talking about striking out Joe DiCamera. I just want to make sure that we're clear.
This is a ball player talking to a ball player.
This is a baller's conversation.
A batting champ and a pitching champ, apparently.
I digress. You got it. This is all yours.
Thank you. So last year, Trey, heading down the stretch, you know, probably a different vibe. What's the biggest difference between last year's team heading into the postseason and this year's team?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right there. You want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the year, and I feel like I've said this probably 4 or 5 times this year just in interviews and different things, is, you know, early on when you struggle, it's not a bad thing, as long as you obviously make the postseason, which we did. So those struggles we went through, you know, in June and July and different parts of the season when everybody wants us to play our best, I understand that, but you got to have a little bit of that in order to get better. And I feel like this last, you know, month and a half, we played really good baseball, beat some good teams. A lot of guys contributed up and down the lineup, and on defense, our pitching has been great. We built some depth. So all these things, I think, is exactly where I wanted to be. I want to be in this situation right here, win the division, and be playing your best baseball at the end of the season. And I think that gives us the best chance going forward. It's not necessarily the best team. It's whoever gets hot and who plays the best. So we're in a good situation to do that, and I'm excited to get out there tomorrow.
Trey, what has Bader meant for you guys? It feels like, you know, it's one thing. Obviously, he's hit a lot since he got here, and he's been a really good player. It feels like he's also, with the vibes and the energy, it feels like he's added something. And just from watching from afar, Trey, it felt like he fit in with you guys right away from the minute he got here. How about his impact on this team?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like Dave's done a really good job at finding those guys and signing those guys that fit into the clubhouse. And, you know, it started a while ago, but it seems like every year we get, somebody or a new player that really fits in and just meshes well. And like you said, the energy is almost just as important as how well he's played, and kind of give you a little shot in the arm and halfway through the year or, you know, last third of the season and kind of just make you have fun. You know, he's great to have in the clubhouse. He's the same guy every day. He's funny. He's competing out there. He wants to win, and those are the guys you need in the clubhouse, guys that can enjoy themselves but also can take it really serious at the same time and want to win. So he's been awesome. I'm so happy he's here, and I think we all are, and I think the fans can see that as well.
Trey, listen, man, we appreciate you hopping on and giving us a few minutes. Say congratulations on the batting title. Good luck this next month. And, Trey, we got to have a parade here in February, and we are all hoping for another one about a month from now. Trey, good luck this postseason, and hopefully we see you down Broad Street in about a month.
Yeah, let's do it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
You got it. There he goes. Trey Turner
let's
with us here on the Midday
I'm
Show.
I'm with you, pal. Let's do it.
So a couple things from that. One, he sounds confident, but it was interesting to hear him say he hasn't pushed it 100%.
You and I looked at each other when he said that. We kind of like,
notable.
Yeah, it's notable. You know, it's interesting.
I understand why, but why would he? Right? He played in the one
until
game
you
on
have
Sunday,
to, right?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Hugh, have you ever had an injury where you didn't know you could do it until you literally got back in the moment on the field
it's
in
a
real
question.
Game?
Well, it's a confidence thing. You're afraid that your body's gonna fail. You know what I mean? So you go through the cautionary phase of like, okay, well, the last time if it's similar to the way you got hurt, you're a little nervous about that. So I'm assuming his first at bat, say if he hits a single and he's legging it out, that's probably going to be the tell. You know, when he has to, when you pull a hamstring or something like that, it's not so much the running, it's the burst. And what I mean by that is like from stop to start like really, really fast, and that's when your muscles are firing. That's where you usually get in trouble. And that's what speed guys usually, that's when they usually pull their muscles. So that's when it's gonna be when it's just not, you're not even thinking about it. You just have to react and go.
I kind of hope it's an infield chopper in the first inning. Like, I think if he gets it out of his head, right, if he knows he can do it, maybe he's just ready to go.
I'm not as concerned about, like, I don't really care about him stealing bases because he has Schwarber and Harper behind him. It's why his stolen base total. He could steal 40 bags if he didn't have those kind of guys behind him. It really is, will he be able to leg out those infield singles and going first to third and
score from first on a ball in the gap? We've seen him do that so many times.
Last year he stopped doing it after the injury.
Totally.
Well, and the other thing is that it affected his defense. I mean, he said that the hamstring, you know, it had him a little bit worried and maybe to bend over as much. I don't know, but he said it did affect his defense. He's been so good defensively this year at shortstop. You cannot have a step back from that standpoint.
And that was another notable part that, you know, when you talked about his season, he's like, the defense, that's what I'm proud of. I really worked to get back to where I thought I could be. I thought that was, you know, it
seems like
matters.
He's more proud of that than the batting title.
Which is wild.
He probably,
you know,
heard you know, killing him on the air.
Well, he's lucky he can talk to you. His second batting title, by the way.
Yes.
The one thing that's interesting with his defense, and it's something that Bobby Dickerson has put in, is that you get them all to really work on backhand. Like, when you're growing up, it was always get in front of the baseball.
Get in front of the baseball. Get your body in front of it. Yeah.
Now it's just pick it with your backhand. And it had Trey have his best defensive year yet.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was really good. Like, not just, you know, better than he was before. Like, he was a quality defensive shortstop.
Well, and even, like, the advanced analytics suggests he was a good defensive shortstop.
Yeah.
You know, boom, we watch him and we're like, he's fine. Yeah. But then all the advanced numbers are he's still below average. Even the advanced numbers were like he had a good defensive season.
Yeah, and if he's I don't need him to be Ozzie Smith out there. He just makes the plays, they're going to be fine.
He won a batting title, play average shortstop. That's one of the most valuable players in the league.
I mean,
he's
probably going to get top
10.
Yeah,
I think 10.
Really?
I think it's probably top 5 MVP. You talking about?
There was not much after.
It's
Schwarber.
More the lack of other top tier kids.
Ohtani, Schwarber, Soto.
1, 2, 3. Yeah, and I don't even know with Soto like how many. Votes,
I think he'll be top 3.
I think he will because of the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers.
But, like, I don't – yeah, you're right. He'll be
PCA
he'll be,
fell off. Machado fell
PCA
off.
Fell off horrendously. I mean, PCA, his second half of the season was – he barely went to 30-30.
I do wonder –
Trey had the highest war in the National League.
No,
right?
Christopher Sanchez did.
Nice.
I do wonder
– I know, right? Isn't that hilarious? Yeah, no, Christopher Sanchez had the highest war.
But amongst position players.
Oh, I think Trey was up there,
I wonder if he fell a little out of sight, out of mind, not playing the last 3 weeks with voters.
Possible.
But yeah, but
possible.
I mean, whatever. Top 5 or top 10.
Didn't matter for the Cy Young last year.
It did not.
With Chris, not that I had money on it.
Either way, he's going to get top 10 votes. Yeah. Sanchez is going to finish 2 in Cy Young. All right, let's grab a call on here. Let's grab
There's no.
Have you guys spoke to Aaron in San Diego?
Sadly.
No, I love Aaron San Diego. People are too mean to Aaron San Diego.
Well, you put him on when I was with you at McGurk's, and I said, I believe I said it was the single worst call that I had ever heard.
Well, there's
in
nowhere
WFP
to go,
history,
nowhere to go but up then. Aaron in San Diego's up. Hey, Aaron.
Good morning, Philadelphia.
And this is where you lose everyone ever.
How we doing?
Today is a day where I wish it was Aaron in Philadelphia. I mean, you've got to have people in their brightest, sharpest red, blue, and white jerseys. And on the other side of the street, you got the vibrant greens and silvers and whites. The city has to be absolutely okay? And there,
it must be his phone. It got to be his phone.
No, it's
man.
His voice. Yeah, see, his voice went out the other day.
Yeah.
And there was construction at his house. Just go ahead, Aaron.
It's bad delivery. I think.
I know you're nervous, okay? And I know there's a lot of people that are out there that are nervous about the super team coming in for this series. But here's what I want you all to do. I want you to all go in the mirror, look yourself in the eye, and repeat after me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a damn thing that we can do on the field to affect the outcome.
Serenity prayer.
I was going to say, not the serenity prayer.
You don't hear that
on WIP often, the serenity prayer.
Nah.
That's a Marple Mack
thing. All the fans out there.
I mean, it's a good thing. He's right.
I don't disagree.
I have thought about it.
Me too. I'm a big, I really try and focus on what I
look in the mirror every day and say, I'm a professional.
Yeah.
That's right.
I look in the mirror and say, Candyman. I don't know.
Not three times, though.
No, never.
Is that a movie reference?
Yes.
Come on.
Hold up.
It's a movie reference with Seltzer.
Are you serious?
What movie?
You've never seen Candyman.
Are you serious?
I have no idea.
I haven't.
Is it John Candy?
I haven't either.
Oh my God.
You know what really bothers me about this whole exchange? He's looking at me with a straight face.
I know.
I have no idea what Candyman is.
You've never seen Candyman?
Have you heard of Candyman?
No, actually, he made a remake too. The original is the one. He is a part of my tribe though.
So you probably you don't know who you only got like it's only me and Ike are only two tribal friends.
I saw Friday.
Ain't wrong.
I did see Friday.
Aaron,
I should have never thought he would see the Candyman. That was my mistake.
When did you see Friday? Like
last year?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, last year.
Hold on, man.
I'm getting in.
Friday's amazing.
I told you. I told Ike I'm getting invited to the cookout, but I'm just getting made fun of at the cookout.
I don't know.
You know we gotta take here. You know, wait, hold
who's
on,
in Candyman.
Aaron, hold on a second.
I'll show you the break.
Yeah. Hugh, we got to take. What's the name of the place we went to in Atlanta? We got to take.
Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
Oh, I found another spot.
No one will stick out more in Atlanta than Jack. No, I was there.
No, I mean, I stick out.
Jack's worse, I think. So.
Really?
Like,
I think so.
That sounds like a Twitter poll.
Let me tell you. Me and Joe went.
Who's whiter, Jack or Joe?
Joe acclimated. Joe made friends. Like,
own
I turned
lights.
Around and Joe was gone. I'm like, where's Joe?
Well, see, here's the difference, Hugh. Joe with an IPA or two, that's a different Jillio.
I think it might have been three at that point.
Yeah. Oh, you were getting. Yeah.
We were making friends. Go ahead, Aaron.
Yeah, we forgot we got him on call. I think we made Aaron mad.
Oh, now we hung up. Oh,
I'm devastated. Oh, what am I going to do?
The poor me's for Aaron in San Diego.
You guys going to miss him or?
I like Aaron San Diego.
There might be a worse take. He's got some bad ones. That's up there.
I'm still stuck on Jack looking at me with a straight
face.
Who's Candyman? Seriously?
I don't know what Candyman is.
So it's not John Candy is what you're telling
it's
us?
It's not John Candy.
It sounds like the opposite of John Candy. It is.
This is Ike's fault. You should have watched Friday a long time ago.
I agree with that, too.
I blame Ike for this one.
Let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Joe, hey, I'm trying to practice.
Where's your bookie?
Where's your bookie?
Ain't he in jail in PA?
Yeah.
Somebody just said that.
Yeah. Ippy's doing time.
Locked up, won't let me.
I need a fat head of Ippy tomorrow.
I'm locked up.
Come on, man.
That's Akon right there.
I know Akon.
What's up, Drew?
I can do the Dougie.
Hey, Jack, what? I will definitely contribute to that.
I'm just kidding.
Dude, my wife and my buddy Dougie at our wedding. It was
Is
awesome.
That right?
Yeah. My wife can Dougie.
I'm going to the wedding after this.
I know.
The best.
You're not dressed up. Sorry, Drew. We were all over the place.
Sorry, Drew.
What's the point of taking calls, frankly?
You're good. I will definitely contribute to that chant tomorrow. Jack, hey, Hugh, I got a favor to ask you. I don't want to put you on the spot, but it's my birthday. I'm having a great day. I would love if you could tell someone at some point before the show ends. to kiss your ass at some point. You did it the day of the eve of the Eagles season, and we're 4-0. So just keep that in mind. That the Phillies.
Oh yeah, that'll probably happen.
Yeah. For your birthday, I'll tell someone.
I don't know, the boss is kind of in close proximity.
You did it before the Eagles season. Why?
I have no idea. It's probably because someone said I don't like the Eagles. Oh. I don't know why they would think that.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that comes out of nowhere. Yeah.
Oh man, yeah, I was thinking of you with that. Yeah, man. So I'll get to my X factor, but I think it's more on the bats because to me, you know, these pitchers like they don't have the same baggage that the bats do. Like, you know, Sanchez, Lizardo, like Ranger, like they haven't done a lot wrong over the past couple years to like mess up in the playoffs. Like Lizardo hasn't even been here, so I feel like, you know, when you're making more money, like you got more responsibility. Like Bryce, like Trey, like Kyle Schwarber, like this is on them. And I'm sure you guys have looked at these, you know, splits a little bit. I don't want to just accept of like, okay, no runs after five, get to the bullpen. I think these starters are gettable. Shohei's got a 3.8 ERA on the road. Bell's ERA on the road's above 4. Like, we got to do some damage early on here.
Oh, Snell's not handling
love,
this crowd
love the
well.
Take. Yeah. Love it. Well, look, Shohei hasn't pitched in a few weeks,
September
too, right?
September 23rd. Yeah. His command could be off.
And he's never pitched in the postseason.
I know.
He pitched in the World Baseball Classic, struck out Trout to close
not
out.
Not the postseason.
Well, let's just say this. He's never pitched in an environment like he's going to be in tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. It's going to be a little different.
Like this.
Oh, you don't think Anaheim's like now a big game in Anaheim? No? Oh, I'm sorry.
They've never had a big game. Yeah, that was my bad. Drew, man, we appreciate you. Good phone call. Yeah, if we get an Ohtani's head tomorrow night, that would be awesome.
I mean, but how are you going to do that?
I think you could change the series. Like, if they can get to Shohei early, I think that could really get in their head.
Do you really think the bookie thing is going to carry?
No, I think
the only... put his best friend in jail because he didn't want to go to jail.
I'm with you. I think the only way you get... Hugh's definitely right. I don't think anything... It's just the noise, the scene. Can he handle
the ambiance?
Yes, exactly. I don't think it's going to be like the bookie stuff.
No, because he put his book... He let his bookie go to jail.
It was just like his best friend. He's like, go to jail for me.
Hey,
like,
man,
cool.
Hey, listen. He's like, hey, you got to take this charge.
you got to take the...
But he's going to take care when he get out. He got to take care when he get out.
Goodfellas. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Just don't say nothing. You know, do this time. And when you get out, you know, because he bought somebody wife a Benz, then a Porsche.
That's right.
I better have a Range Rover if I do this.
Keep your mouth shut, is what he said.
With like a half a yam in the back. Better be like a half a yam in the trunk in that Range Rover when I get out of jail.
Federal prison? I want more than that.
Yeah, if you're doing it. But you know, from what I've heard, when you do fed time, it's like, you know, I mean, it's a little different.
It's a little different. Okay. I would not handle it well.
Jack would
handle it even less well. So.
Is that Hugh chiming in on what jail is better? Yes,
215.
I'm just saying.
You know Bam went to jail?
Bam went to jail.
Upper Darby Bam?
What?
He said Grand Theft Auto.
Isn't he blind?
Don't.
That's what he said.
Isn't he blind?
He said that yesterday.
But isn't Bam blind? I'm so confused.
I know.
Is Bam always blind?
Stop. Jack, don't do that.
I don't know.
He brought it up on the air. He said he was stealing cigarette lighters out of cars. And we said, that's not jail worthy. And then he's like, no, it was really Grand Theft Auto.
Well, now you have me thinking, what percentage of our callers have done time? I'm just working.
There's probably a few.
There's some.
That's a good way to get rid of October.
What is time, though? Like, are you talking about 6 months? We talking about a year?
I think 6 months counts as time.
Yeah, I guess you're right, yeah.
Brother, that's Mickey Mouse.
For me, one night counts as time, all right?
That's Mickey Mouse. 6 months is Mickey Mouse.
Gotta be a year.
Three of us at this table wouldn't survive a day.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, so what you're saying? I'll survive. I'll be okay.
Oh, why do you say that?
Yes, yeah.
Because you know what? Ain't nobody gonna take my cornbread. Ain't nobody taking my cornbread.
Yeah, right.
And when I go to jail, I'm swinging on the first big cat
that
I see.
Yeah.
Commissary. I'm taking everybody commissary.
Is that a movie?
No, you know what the commissary is?
Put some money on my books. I'm gonna tell Mike, put some money on my books.
This is a perfect end to this hour.
I'm so happy. What an honor to be here. The High Hopes, guys.
We appreciate you being part of it. 4 o'clock tomorrow from the park.
By the way, the Phillies are selling the 999 challenge during the postseason.
You going to do it?
Well, I won't be able to do the postgame show.
Yeah,
you'd be banged up for real. I ain't eating no 9 glizzies. That's a lie.
I can do the 9 beers. The 9 hot dogs, I can't eat no 9 hot dogs.
You won't even eat a hot dog like a regular person.
I'd be damned if I eat 9 glizzies.
Hot dog thing is...
I ain't no glizzy gobbler.
They better be... Cut that off. Cut that audio.
The glizzy gobbler, Hugh Douglas.
Jack, out of everything I said, Jack caught that.
Kyle was going to cut that audio the moment it came out of your mouth.
No question. All right, coming up next, Scott Fransky, the voice of the Phillies ready for another October. He will join us. Your phone calls. Well, it is the Red October Rally at Stateside Live. Come on by parking lot S, parking there, and come on into Stateside Live, formerly Xfinity Live, down by the stadiums. We appreciate everyone being a part of this day-to-day. Scott Fransky next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.